Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Hey, Junior, love ya. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Come look at us. Hopefully, Junior is smiling. My goal with Junior, Janae Ogunwumike, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Junior, before I dive into the many things that are happening, we've got the NBA Finals, Game 3 in the books. Finally, the Bucks get a win. We've got the MLB All-Star Game tomorrow, the Home Run Derby tonight. We'll get some expert analysis on that in about 30 minutes. The coverage of the Home Run Derby begins at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio. But before we get to all of that, you forgive me for, talking about you while you were gone? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you know what, Janae? The way I look at it right now here is it balances out, right? Yes, hearing Jason. You know what? And honestly, I'm putting most of this on Fitz. Because Jason was the one who felt the need to come in here and try and drive a wedge between us, right? You were coming in here trying to unify, talking about how you'd remember to shout out me and the show on this big late night platform here. And then Jason had to come out of nowhere and try and act like a big old homewrecker around here. So I think all is forgiven on our end because now my focus is on Jason.
Yeah, good. I like that. Keep that energy right straight there. Okay, just all on Fitz.
There we go.
And he actually didn't even have bad food takes. I was surprised. I think this was his plan the whole time. Try to disrupt us. But we are stronger together, Junior. Okay, we're stronger together. All right.
The bedrock of this show is strong, stronger than ever, coming off of, all it took was me getting shouted out on the Jimmy Kimmel Show with you and Wanda Sykes. That's all it took.
That's all it took. Oh, and the sad thing is she was just at her game, Junior. So, you were here not too long ago. You two would have been fast friends. She would have loved you. She actually, you weren't here when she was actually on here as well. So, sorry to rub it in, but it's all Fitz's
fault.
And also, I want to shout out our producer, Shannon Penn, who, makes magic happen all the time. Because, to go on Jimmy Kimmel with Wanda Sykes and then to get Wanda Sykes on Janae Angola Jr., come on, y'all. We got to show respect to where respect is due. Shannon got everybody in his phone. I need to steal his phone because it's probably amazing with all the guests. But nonetheless, y'all, the Bucks finally got a win. I'm very happy because you know where my allegiances lie. Nigeria! Okay? Chinenye Joy Nena Ogunwumike. All right? You got that. And there was a big win by the Nigerian men's national team taking down Team USA. Now, I know, y'all, I'm proudly Nigerian-American. I'm very fortunate to say that I have the best of both worlds, right? Being able to experience the U.S. and the opportunities that sports brings here, but also to have my heritage in Nigeria. And I thought it was stunning, Junior, where you could see the comparisons where 9 years ago, the Nigerian national team lost to the USA by 80 points? A world record of how many points you can lose in a game. And to see how that has motivated them to compete at the highest level. My goodness. Precious's block.
Ooh, my God.
Around the world. We haven't even seen a block like that in the NBA. Mind you, he is an NBA player, but that was an NBA caliber type of play on a guy that is probably the best scorer in the NBA in Kevin Durant. So I have to start off with that energy. If we're going to talk about hoops, let's talk about
Janae, I do have to ask in that regard because I feel like simultaneously we've got that block by Precious, which if you hadn't seen it, is maybe the cleanest block you've seen in the last couple years in basketball on any platform. We've got that on one side, Janae, and we have got that Cam Johnson poster of PJ Tucker from Game 3 in the NBA Finals on the other side here. How do we rank these two right here? Because I think PJ Tucker now lives in the void on the other side of the sacred timeline. He got dunked on that hard by Cam Johnson, who kind of surprised all of us. But Precious going up with the audacity to block KD like that, pretty special. I would probably put the dunk up top here, but it's a very close 1A, 1B situation.
I'm going to put the block just because we don't see tremendous blocks like that often. We will see signature poster dunks here and there, but when you get an elite caliber block, that to me is more 1A than 1B. Both amazing plays, and my goodness, the runway on the dunk. Didn't you see how he sort of just popped the ball down, then cocked back? When someone has that much runway, you're back on the playground. Everyone has Junior. I think you would have dunked. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
dunked.
No.
But when you have that much runway and you have a pathway to the rim, I do feel though, Junior, that PJ Tucker is the one player that can get dunked on and not get ridiculed because he plays so hard defensively all the time, right? So. Most people we be talking about maybe in the echelon of Brandon Knight, oh my gosh, he got dunked and that's defining your career being on the other end of that dunk. I don't think it applies to PJ Tucker because of how hard he plays defensively, honestly.
Well, and because P.J. Tucker's wearing like $5,000 worth of sneakers walking into the arena every night and has the respect of every man, woman, and child for that alone. So that certainly helps him in that situation. Janae, you talked about what the Nigerian men's team managed to pull off, by the way, that stunning win over Team USA in the exhibition heading up to the Tokyo Games. The U.S. was a 28.5-point favorite in that game. Wow. And minus 10,000 on the money line. Nigeria, according to Caesars' William Hill, was listed at plus 2,500 going into that game, one of the largest upsets in an exhibition we've ever seen. So it was incredible. And I saw, where were you? I saw a lot of people giving Bam Adebayo grief for going over and getting pictures of those guys after the game.
But, like, might as well. It's amazing. And that's where I say, like, that's the beauty of America, right? Where we are a melting pot. We can celebrate our heritages. We all are quote-unquote immigrants at some point if you go down the lineages. And so, you know, where you might have, you know, my family knows this far too well, right? Like, you might have allegiances to America, but you also have heritage and other people choosing their allegiances to their family history and family background. So I love it, and they had fun with it. Shout out to the Nigerian Basketball Federation, their Twitter account. They were so proud because they gained about like 20 to 30,000 more followers after that. And they had some hilarious tweets. Like, one of them that made me laugh was because they hit 23s. And y'all say we can't shoot? I thought that was funny. I thought another thing that was funny was the video they posted of Bam, like with the guy with his eyes wide open looking all awkward, like, Bam Adebayo looking at you because no, you're Nigerian. So, like, everyone was having fun with the beauty of this moment. And I think everyone understood that, yes, it's an exhibition. It's not fun, you know, to have a national team lose, especially the U.S. national team that has been the landmark, the hallmark of the sport. But, I mean, everyone knows it also helps grow the game, right? Like, to have that motivation come to fruition in this way for this team, the Nigerian national team, I thought it was truly beautiful.
Well, Janae, as we look at this, too, from a bigger sense, because you mentioned a lot of the reaction that I saw today was people freaking out about what this means for Team USA and the basketball program, because you saw all the graphics before the game of the U.S. starting lineup talking about it being unbeatable. Who's going to topple that? That obviously got old takes exposed into oblivion there. But what you brought up, we talked about on this show, the amount of Nigerian-American players on a team like the Miami Heat, the amount of players from different countries that have proliferated the NBA right now. This should be exactly what Adam Silver and company are looking for, right? To see a more competitive brand of basketball from the rest of the globe, because this is why you try and invest in things like the basketball league in Africa that we talked about not too long ago when you had J. Cole playing over there. Like, these are all the seeds coming to fruition, right?
Yeah, this is by Adam Silver's design. Moments like this, like building the game, expanding the game. He literally always calls it a global game. He wants Adam Silver to rival football. Football meaning soccer, right? Like, the number one sport, the most accessible sport. All you need is a ball and some floor, some ground to be outside or inside, whatever the case may be. Basketball has more barriers to entry, yet it has a lot of energy. And it's the perfect little amalgamation of time and score and excitement and society costs, the intersection of like society and culture and all that type of stuff. And he wants that to be global because that helps the brand of the NBA. That's why he had the NBA Africa game. That's why he supported the Basketball Africa League for this type of growth, so that it brings out the best in not only, you know, Team USA, but also just the game overall. So now the NBA is the home of all of that, you know, so it's a beautiful thing. I know it's tough and it's awkward at times to see losses like that, you know, but at the same time, it did provide, if you think about it, an entire, not just the country of Nigeria, but an entire continent, a little bit of hope, where those preconceived notions that we have about people playing sports in Africa is just way different than what the opportunities we just naturally have here. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun to see that happen again. I would not panic. For those people saying this team is unbeatable and you see a loss in the exhibition, do not panic. This team will be good in Tokyo, but I think these moments like this are good for sport.
Absolutely, it was. It was a really fun moment to watch. Like you said, seeing a lot of the people involved, have fun with the situation, enjoy it. That is what we should be here to do. But coming up next, before we take a look at Game 4 of the NBA Finals and see if one player really can make all the difference as we look to shift this series even further into the future, we also have to take a look at the world stage of sport where we came together and unfortunately had the worst possible outcome. That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Time is of the essence, baby. This is my song right now. And I would like to say, shout out to Wizkid and Tems. This is the song of the summer. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Oh my God, I want to say this. Going in. Oh my gosh, Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and a lot of Afro vibes over here because your girl's Nigerian American. And we've had some big performances from those that have that heritage all over the world of sports. But Junior, I think this is a perfectly timed conversation considering what we're dealing with and experiencing. A lot of people have, you know, now reached grand stages of their careers. There's a lot of pressure. We've got the NBA Finals. We're coming up on the Olympics. We've had the Euros that just happened right on our network. And I'm not going to lie, like, I was super excited. My family comes, you know, I come from a family that really loves football, soccer. And so my dad was super excited to be able to watch this competition. And it started off really well. Like, I don't know, Junior, if you saw young Prince George was out there with his parents, the Royals, and England started off with a really quick goal, and everything sort of got competitive later. But then it turned into something that was really, really disappointing. Now, we all know at this point that Italy, you know, came off as champions, and England afterward, the aftermath in which they lost was just disheartening with how the public reacted. Three black players who missed penalty kicks for England in the European Championship, the shootout at the end versus Italy, were subjected to racist abuse online, prompting even the English Football Association to issue a statement condemning the language that was used against the players. And one of the players, 19 years old, on the England squad, he was the one that missed the penalty that gave the title to Italy, Bukayo Saka. It was really tough to see, you know, them in tears. Everyone is mourning the loss. That was such a moment at Wembley. The excitement, especially now that we're getting back to a little bit of normalcy. And there was so much pride, and it just took a hard turn. And, you know, it was difficult because as someone, as a spectator myself, watching the replays of the penalties and the kicks and seeing how immediately, you know, as a black person in this space, like, I was like, I hope people don't do what would be easy to do in the worst way. And that's exactly what happened. Murals were defaced. But then there were a lot of people that came and showed the murals love. Social media was just tragic. And then there was a lot of people that showed and showered the players of color with love. So as much as there was negativity, there was, you know, a reclamation of positivity by those who supported, but still, Junior, to see what happened in the aftermath of England's loss was really disappointing.
Yeah, Janae, what was disappointing was just what you said. I felt it, and I saw it across my timeline, and anyone I looked and talked to is, we were all bracing for impact, right? Like, it couldn't have worked out worse in that situation for a high-pressure spot, and there was going to be pressure on anyone in those instances, right? Like, these are penalty kicks for a team in England who's got 50-plus years of really bad, disappointing history when it comes to soccer on the world stage, football on the world stage in these instances. So all of that pressure was bearing down. But you had three black players that were subbed in at the end of this game for the express purpose of doing this, already wearing the pressure of that. But, Shanae, I don't know if you remember the top of the broadcast with the crew that was on call for ESPN, they talked about, as the players took a knee on the field before the game, the way we've seen players in plenty of other sports go and take a knee to protest structural racism, all of the inequality that we have seen spoken about, talked about, gestured about in sports. The announcing crew talked about how England's manager had had to implore fans earlier in the tournament not to boo players who were taking a knee, not to boo other countries' national anthems. And you realized, oh, that's right. This is unfortunately exactly what we expected in this spot.
Yeah, and how that gesture was then now used online and ridiculed and said, well, we did this and you couldn't even deliver. Like, those two ideas are completely separate. We're talking about humanity on one side and a sport for entertainment and the outcome of that on the other, which shouldn't even be in the same stratosphere as each other, right? And for me, like, you know, it's sad because, like, signing up for sports, I always say it's a meritocracy, right? Like, when we play, we know that this is a safe space where we know that what we experience out there is better in some facets than the real life, where we know we're judged by our skill and what we're able to do. And that's all that matters. And outside, when we take our jerseys off, and that's when, like, the game changes, you know, metaphorically. But to see how all of that just converged, it just really, I was, like you said, like, it's not surprising. It was right there for people to make that short assumption. And instead of being better, a lot of people were worse. But I do think the bright, you know, the silver lining of all of this is that we're getting quick statements. We're getting teammates standing up for their other teammates. And now I think people will personalize, wow, like, it's one thing to fail, right? To not make the game-winning shot or to not make the kick. It's one thing to fail. It's another thing to fail and then also be, you know, dumped on with racial epithets and just things that are completely unacceptable for where we are in society. And I think now people are realizing that people carry different burdens that, like, wow, like, it brings, I think it'll bring this team together in a way that it's like, all right, your experience, wow, I didn't even fathom that this is what you additionally have to deal with when you're in a position of failure, right? Like, it sort of brings a bigger idea of, like, people that are from, you know, different communities, not the dominant per se, or the way that society is, you know, built or constructed, those communities that have made it. If you're on the outside, you deal with some stuff in addition to what you're personally dealing with in real time, like a loss on such a grand stage. So there's so many lessons to this, but I did like that there was a lot of outpouring of love and support, and I think that's what these guys hold on to.
Yeah, and you hope, like, I just watch this and go, man, like you mentioned, Bukayo Saka is 19, plays for Arsenal over there as well. You just hope this isn't the kind of instance that between the moment itself, because you saw statements from him, statements from some of these guys talking, I think it was Marcus Rashford who said, I was brought in to hit penalties. I do this in my sleep in practice, so I don't know why, you know, I was expected to do that in this situation. You hope, especially for someone like Saka, who's 19, that this isn't the kind of moment that can break you on the other side, right? Between the pressure of the sport and the off-field response, you hope he's wrapped in enough love and has a strong enough support system to be able to go out, because we should be talking about the fact that they were confident enough in a 19-year-old player to go out on the stage and accomplish that, not the fact that he failed on the other side, which is one of those things that's a part of the sport. You know it's a part of the outcome, especially in something as polarizing as penalty kicks already. But the fact that he was 19 and trusted with that responsibility says more about him than the fact that he missed it.
Yep, exactly. And I know a lot of people leap to assumptions based on what we saw. It was right there for everyone's like, oh, people of color in this high pressured moment. But that should just show you, like, even seeing that before, remove the outcome is abnormal, right? And so, you know, we have to celebrate the fact that that even happened. They were put in that position based on their talents. And then, you know, obviously athletes grow from this. But like you said, you got to be wrapped in love, because that was not what sport is all about.
No, certainly not. Here again, an inglorious end to what was an otherwise spectacular tournament in the Euros this year, as Italy gets that win over England in the 2020 Euro Cup, played in 2021. You get it. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, though, let's get warmed up to go back tonight for the 2021 Home Run Derby. We'll do that after this word from 5-Hour Energy.
Hey guys, you have a long list of DIY, do-it-yourself projects to tackle at home? Take a 5-Hour Energy shot so you can check everything off your list. 5-Hour Energy is the brand hardworking people like you, yes you, have trusted for 17 years to keep them alert and energized during those very hectic busy days. So go to 5hourenergy.com, the number 5, today, and use promo code GOLIC, oh I like that guy, to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5, OurEnergy.com, promo code GOLIC, G-O-L-I-C, for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Now, the Home Run Derby, oh gosh, Home Run Derby is tonight, and we've got a sneak peek coming up next. That's right here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is time to show off the strength and skill, y'all. Home Run Derbies tonight. Let's go. And coverage starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time right here on ESPN Radio. Chinay and Golic Jr. right here. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chinay Ogbonmike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, speaking of guests, John, our ESPN MLB play-by-play analyst, joins us right here on the Goodyear Hotline. And John is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. Boog, it's really great to talk to you. Tonight is a really exciting one. We've got the game tomorrow, obviously. But with the home run derby, can you sort of set the table for us on what to expect?
Yeah, I think you're going to see some balls that are going to land places that are going to make your jaw drop. I mean, between Otani and Gallo, I think those two guys especially, plus Alonso, those three should be in the running for, you know, we're going to have the record for the longest home run in the history of the home run derby. I don't think there's any question about it. And there are going to be balls hit in this park that I think people probably didn't anticipate. They'll be going to spots that previously were thought to be unreachable. So I think the expectations will be fulfilled in terms of how excited people are about this.
Boog Chamby with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And Boog, part of that is going to be the lack of the humidor being used in here.
Yeah.
Can you explain to people what normally happens to the baseballs inside the park there in Colorado and what is going to allow some of these balls to elevate to spots we've never seen?
Right, so it's a couple of things, and if I could just get my dork on for a second. The thing about the humidor is that it's not designed to necessarily suppress offense. I think because this was the first place, because it's been put into other parks now. There are other ballparks. Fenway has it now. St. Louis has it now. But it's done for different reasons in different spots. The number one thing that's taking place is the humidor is designed to keep the baseball in its natural state. And if it is not stored in the humidor, then it dries out, it shrinks, it ends up getting harder, and the baseball ultimately then travels farther because of that. So that's they turn into, you know, to some extent like golf balls. So what the humidor does is it just keeps it in its normal state. So a baseball stored in a humidor in Denver should play the exact same way as stored in natural circumstances in Philadelphia. So that's basically the thing you're going to see here tonight. These baseballs have been sitting out, so they probably, because of the dryness, they get dried out. They will have a tendency to shrink a tiny bit, and with that, they'll operate in a manner where they're going to be quite springy, scientific term right there for it. So that's basically what it is. So, but the point, Mike, would be this, that there are spots where you actually could store a ball in a humidor where it would supply more offense. Does that make sense? Because in some spots, if you have a ton of humidity and the ball gets soggy, it may not travel because if you just leave it out in the humidity, then the ball may end up getting soft. So sometimes you're going to put a ball in a humidor in a ballpark, and it will generate more offense. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely makes sense. We're talking to Boog Chamby with us here. You can hear him on ESPN Radio.
Wait, are you sure? I thought it was Bill Nye, because that was expert science analysis.
That's right.
It was expert science analysis. But, Boog, outside of just the science portion of this, we've heard so much talk in the first half of the season about Shohei Ohtani here, what he's done, a major league leading 33 home runs heading into the All-Star break. What is it about his presence at the plate that might make him uniquely equipped for an event like this?
Well, I don't know about – I honestly – tonight is going to be cool for sure. Tomorrow night, the buzz around the first inning – is going to be insane when you think about the idea that he is going to warm up, lead off, and then be out there on the mound and pitch immediately. I mean, it's straight out of Little League. It's straight out of when we were 12 or 13 years old. You know, they should put like a single digit number on him for the game tomorrow night. I just, that's the part. You're just not going to, you know, want to take your eyes off him. I think tonight, I do think Gallo could upstage him, because Gallo is an absolute monster of a man, and he has the ability to hit the ball like the way Judge hits the ball, the way Stanton hits the ball. He can hit it that far. I love the fact that, you know, Ohtani is here and seems to want to step out into the spotlight and say, hey, here I am.
John, you know, real quick, overall, who is your favorite and who is your dark horse?
So I guess I kind of let it slip already that you can't bet against Gallo to me. I just think in this ballpark, he has the advantage. But I think, look, if there is a dark horse, I guess it would be Trevor Story. As the local kid, but Alonso can hit it 7,000 feet, and obviously Ohtani has shown what he can, but I'd pick Gallo. I don't know, in a field of eight, I don't know, that there are really any super dark horses. I guess you could say Juan Soto, but my money's on, not really my money. Am I allowed to say that? I'm picking Joey Gallo. How's that?
There we go. You know what? The expert view of it here, we know the turn of phrase, and we certainly are excited to hear this from our ESPN MLB play-by-play announcer, Boog Sciambi. Boog, we appreciate you giving us some time,
Thank you.
We're all looking forward to watching these guys mash some dingers tonight.
Bye, you guys. Pleasure.
Tune in for Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby as baseball's best sluggers vie for long ball supremacy. Coverage starts at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
If we're not supposed to say my money's on this, but we're out of money, clearly.
I think we're all kind of past that point in all this. And we understand probably wasn't meant literally there, but it is interesting, Janae, what he talked about in this, because we've got seven newcomers to this contest here. Yeah. The only one returning, Pete Alonso, the defending champ from 2019 when he won it there. And so all eyes we know are going to be on Shohei in this, but he mentioned that. There's a great story. Trey Mancini from the Orioles here, who overcame a battle with cancer to be back for this season. There's a lot of great things to watch. Heading into a night in a park, and I'm glad Boog went into the science around the baseballs here, because as you read up on it, in a park where we're already preconceived to think about how far these things can fly, everyone is preparing for record-setting length in this ballpark.
Well, on my second floor, there's no AC, and I was like, humidity. I was like, man, I need him to look at my unit. Like, he knows enough about everything that's going on. Please help me.
I was going to say, Boog coming over to be able to work also on ACs, get the humidity in apartments right here. He does everything for us in addition to play-by-play here. A reminder also, before you get to coverage starting at 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio, you can head over to YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and a number of other streams to watch myself, June Lee, who was on with us earlier, and Clinton Yates on the Baseball Tonight live pregame show before the Home Run Derby. So getting over there to talk some home runs with everybody, which feels like the portion of baseball that I am uniquely equipped to talk about.
That is a group right there.
Yeah, that is a whole bleeping squad. So looking forward to getting over there with those guys. But coming up next, we get to look back at the weekend it was and a surprise performer who took the stage in a way none of us were ready for. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We get the whole gang, the whole crew back together. Myself, Michael Jr. I know I tend to be a little bit MIA at times because of my WNBA season, but it's a beautiful blessing that I'm able to have two careers. And so when we're here together, we get to celebrate these moments. And if there's anything that fails, just blame Fitz. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. And speaking of getting everyone together, so I missed him, but great to have Ryan Hollins joining us, host of the Opinionated Seven Footers, former NBA vet. Join us today to talk NBA Finals. June Lee, ESPN writer, and John Sciambi, our own ESPN MLB play-by-play. Also, Boog. I think it was funny. We had a funny conversation, during the break about how...
Well, Jay, you haven't met him yet.
I haven't
you
met
feel
him, so I'm not
going to
go like full. Yeah, thank you. I'm not going to go. I'm going to go with the government name until I see you in person. I'm like, okay, we're on like a name basis where I can call you your nickname, okay? Also, have to thank Martenzi Johnson from The Undefeated who joined us as well. But Junior, I'm just thinking like your nickname is Junior because like Junior is sort of like one of those cute little. You know what I mean? MD Junior.
Thing, Janae, though, is it's been so many different things. It's been Junior here. It's been Gojo for a lot of people.
Gojo
at ESPN.
Was my first one for you.
MG Junior from Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. So I feel like I always tell people I've been called way worse by coaches. So whatever works for you, works for me.
Yeah, Junior is it. For me, people on my team call me C. People on my former team call me Chi Chi. People call me Nene. Yeah, so
all right.
And I don't like the Shanae. I'm like, this is not it. No, we're not gonna go down that whole shenanigans path, okay?
Not going to do it. We don't have to do it. And that's the beautiful part about this is we all get to get called by the name that we choose around here. So we will keep up with that here. But we got a lot to get here to finish the show. We're taking you up to more Spain and Fitz and then coverage of Major League Baseball's home run derby tonight. So before we get to there, let's finish this off and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keep That Same Energy is brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. And before we get to any of the good sounds, Janae, we started a debate on this show about the use of lotion after bathing. Our producer, Shannon Penn, put up a poll asking Twitter if they put lotion on after they bathe. And the final result with over 6,100 votes is 57% yes, which, as many people have pointed out, Janae, is wild that 43% said no. But I guess.
So let's say like almost every other human does not wear lotion or use lotion. Y'all, do it. Please try it. Please. Get out of the shower. You put some lotion on. It just melts right into your skin. And our producer, Shannon, has four or five. Five versions all available. Oh, my goodness.
Strapped with the lotion. So, yes, if we come away with nothing else here, I can tell you as someone who is converted by lotion-saving light, give yourself this gift. Next time you hop out of the shower, throw a little bit of that good stuff
on. Oh, I was going to say something, but just keep going.
We're going to keep it rocking here. Keeping that same energy. This weekend, we had the ESPYs, the awards given out on this network each and every year, honoring some of the best athletes in sports. And Paige Beckers, the UConn star guard, used her time as an award recipient to talk about the heroes in her sport, black women, and give them some light on the big stage. Take a listen.
As a white woman who leads a black-led sport and celebrated here, I want to show a light on black women. They don't get the media coverage that they deserve. They've given so much to this sport and the community and society as a whole, and their value is undeniable. And in the WNBA, last season, the postseason awards, 80% of the winners were black, but they got half the amount of coverage as the white athletes. So I think it's time for change. Sports media holds the key to storylines. Sports media and sponsors tell us who is valuable, and you have told the world that I matter today. And everyone who voted, thank you. But I think we should use this power together to also celebrate black women. So to Maria Taylor, Robin Roberts, Maya Moore, Odyssey Alexander, to all the incredible black women in my life, on my teams, to Breonna Taylor and all the lives lost, and to those names who have not yet learned, but I hope to share, I stand behind you and I will continue to follow you and follow your lead and fight for you guys. So I just want to say thank you for everything.
Janae, I can say we haven't heard a lot vocally from Paige in her time at UConn. This is a hell of a way to announce her presence on the stage.
Look, beautiful speech, amazing. And I've always told people it's when you put other people first, that's when your true beauty shows. And that's what Paige Beckers did. And it was very impressive for such a young star to share her time. So well done, Paige.
19 years old, heard her in an interview after with The Undefeated say, celebrating others' accomplishments doesn't diminish your own. And boy, oh boy, can people take a note out of that. But let's end the show on a note of celebration as well. Nikita Kucherov, Lightning winger, enjoying his time celebrating their Stanley Cup win. Take a listen to this.
Unreal. All the people right here, unreal. Love them all. Let's party hard. Our time, baby. Back to back. That's how we do it.
What do you think of this team?
Unbelievable. Nobody can beat us. Back to back years. You know, it's an unreal team. Everybody was playing hard. You know, I wish we could keep everybody, but it's business. You know, but you know, as of right now, let's party hard. Let's enjoy it.
Congratulations, guys. I mean, Circuit Chip, you want to say anything?
Thank you.
Hey, how did I know that was coming?
Don't got to tell Kucherov to party hard because once, like Lone Star said, he's already there. Take a look around. That is what a champion sounds like.
Yes.
Stick with it here. Spain and Fitz taking you up to coverage of the Home Run Derby on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.